firstly, thanks for having me on, Aidan. I think that was the bit that took most people by surprise. People thought they'd be able to squeeze it in over lunchtime, but it seemed to go on for longer than an actual game would. But in terms of the actual squad, I'm probably scratching my head a little bit. I'd say, like a lot of people, you're kind of trying to figure out what way they're going to approach the tests by the initial squad, but I suppose it's tricky to see what they're going to do. Is it to kind of pick the pack that you would suggest seems they're going to play a kind of fast open game, but then a backline that you're probably wondering where some of the creativity is going to come from, is trying to marry that all together and wonder what way. There's obviously probably, in terms of the coach and even itself, there's probably a bit of a clash of philosophies there with the way Townsend plays that kind of open style with Scotland, and Gatland would have his traditional Warren ball, as they call it. So it's going to be interesting. There's obviously a few big omissions and a few surprise inclusions, but that's part of the lines, I suppose.
Yeah, so just looking at the squad there now, of course, the big omission from an Irish point of view anyway is Jonathan Sexton. The fly half won't be going on the plane over to South Africa this year. If you were Warren Gatland, do you not think you would take him, even though he does have these head injury concerns?
Big question. I suppose every country is going to be aggrieved in some positions. I think the thing with Johnny Sexton is, I suppose he's had the last five games, I think he's probably had to come off in four of them with knocks, and he's closing in on 36. Like, I think he's the best Irish player of the last 10 years plus. There's no doubt in that. But when you look at probably some of the bodies they have in at 10, I suppose bigger and Farrell, with then Finn Russell, who's that kind of break glass in case of emergency to come off, and he's got that kind of mercurial talent, he could possibly do anything. But I presume they probably went, it's going to be attritional and physical down in South Africa. But Johnny Sexton is both of those things. But just a few knocks recently, I suppose maybe they went with two guys who are probably fit and haven't had the recent injury profile that Johnny has had.
And as I mentioned in my intro there, you're somebody who has links to the Saracens club, and you'd probably know those lads a lot better than I would, in fairness. But a lot of those guys have made it onto the squad this year, the likes of Owen Farrell, Jamie George. Do you think that those guys are kind of there just on their reputation rather than their recent form, especially when it comes to England?
Well, I suppose they are, but some element of that has to come into the selection anyway. I think you can't necessarily pick everything on who played well last weekend, and Lions is every 4 years. And those guys are still, I would say, the best in their position in England. They've just about shown a bit of loyalty by staying with their club. Now, I think there's probably unfairly some criticism laid at their door after the first game, especially, like, a lot of them haven't played since November, and their first game was Scotland, and I think Scotland caught England a bit cold, and the five Saracens players took the brunt of that. I have no doubts in any of those guys. But I suppose the biggest shock for me, possibly biased, but I'm kind of astounded by the lack of Billy Villapola in the squad, because like a lot of good athletes in that back row. But I suppose the old thing in rugby is you can go over a team, go through them, or go around them. And with the back row outside of Faletau, I don't see who's going to go through South Africa. And there will come stages in the test where you'd imagine that will be an issue. Like, rugby is a physical game, and someone like Billy, same as Toby Faletau, they're built for that kind of confrontational physical stuff. In South Africa, as everyone knows, they're world champions, they're big boys. So I don't know, it's all well and good saying we're going to run and play a fast tempo and get around them, but you do need the lads who do the effective stuff and punch the holes. And I just think they've possibly left something short there with their back row selections, that they're maybe missing that sledgehammer that can kick down a few doors if needs be.
So put on your thinking cap there. You know, we're heading into the first test, we've 8 Irish players on the team. Do you think any of them are automatic starters? I guess from a Wexford point of view, you'd be hopeful that Tyke Furlong, given that he is probably the best in his position in the world, you'd have to say, he'd probably get a start. But do you think any of the other 7 are automatic starters?
I was looking through it earlier. So look, it's obviously brilliant from a Wexford point of view for Tyke, and I'm sure everyone in New Ross is delighted. I know my mother's from New Ross herself, so she'll be delighted to see a Ross person on the team there. But I would say Tyke is nailed on as tight head. He's the best in the world for me at that position. I think, because I mentioned, I think the size issue with some of the back rows, and Warren Gatland does love this kind of hybrid player, both in terms of the locks who can cover the back row and maybe the wingers who can cover fullback and stuff. I would possibly see, now I think he might favour Courtney Laws, but I would love to see Tyke Byrne getting a 6, or even an Ian Henderson, one of those two boys. I think then, outside of that, I think Henshaw's nailed on. He was... Now, where he plays is the issue. I think they're going to possibly go with a bigger at 10 with Farrell at 12 and Henshaw at 13. So I think Henshaw, when you look at that England-Ireland game from the Six Nations, I think for that first 20 minutes, England actually had Ireland on the ropes and possibly should have landed a few blows. But Henshaw was the one who was kind of the talisman and pulled Ireland through that period. And then they obviously went on to have a super win. So I would say Henshaw's in. And looking as well, I would say there was no real standout nine in the Six Nations, really. But I think, especially in the high veld with altitude, and the kicking game is so huge there because the ball carries such big distances. And Conor Murray is probably the best nine in the world at that particular style of play, maybe the controlling, kicking style of game, organising good defensive nine. I wouldn't be surprised to see Murray in there either. So there's a few things. I think in terms of nailed on, though, I would say the two that I would definitely see in the starting 15 that would be Tiger Tighthead and Robbie Henshaw in the midfield.
And just tell us a bit more about you, Owen, because you're somebody who, you know, came through the Leinster Academy there, probably played with a lot of the lads that are playing on Irish teams now or have played in the Irish team in the past. And then, of course, you took the brave step to go across to England, you know, going to a brand new country, playing with the likes of Saracens and London Irish in a brand new setup. Unfortunately, having to retire there at 27 due to injury concerns. But, you know, you could have let your head drop. You certainly didn't do that. And just tell us how you managed to get over that shock of, you know, learning that you couldn't play the game you loved at such an early age.
Yeah, look, I was lucky to play with some super players. I suppose the clubs I found myself at with Leinster and then especially when you moved to Saracens. Like, so many of them boys have went on to the Lions. That probably shows my age now that the numbers seem to be dropping every 4 years. But there's still a few knocking around there. No, I was lucky enough to play with those, with some super players and under some great coaches. Now, probably unfortunately for me, I don't think it was necessarily the biggest shock. I think I kind of had, I was supposed to, degenerative condition in my ankles. So I was having surgery nearly every year. So I think I was kind of playing against the clock from probably the age of about 21. So I'd say the year after I came out of Irish 20s, I kind of was on borrowed time, as much as I might not have liked to admit that at the time. So I was often kind of one step forward, one step back, that kind of way with surgeries, with an ankle condition. So, look, I got the most out of it. I didn't get to scale the heights probably I would have liked to, but I don't have any regrets about my career. You know, I gave it my all to what my body would allow. And as I said earlier, it's an attritional game, and I suppose something you do rely on your body for it, and I just couldn't rely on my body enough, and probably wasn't durable enough. So, look, that was kind of just something I had to deal with. But a lot of guys probably come out of sport and they can have that period of where they're kind of sick of it, and you live it so long and you can get maybe a bit bitter. I didn't actually get that, to be honest. Like, I grew up around rugby. I used to go watch my brother Rory play in the AIL when I was a kid, and I knew nothing else. So I went straight in, just channeled my love for the game into the coaching side of things. And I actually find that as much, if not more, rewarding than when I played. You can rely on your brain a bit more than just your body, and that wasn't the most reliable. So, no, it's great to still be involved, and I love watching the next crew of people coming through, and hopefully there's a good few lads coming through from Wexford, and it seems to be really growing in the county.
And look, that must be a heartbreaking situation, learning that at the age of 27, but nobody really would have blamed you for hanging your head and just saying, woe is me, this unfortunate thing happened to me, I should give this up. But you certainly didn't do that. You kept your hand in. You're now head coach of Wanderers in the AIL, a wonderful position there, at one of the big clubs in Dublin too. Just tell us a little more about your work with the Leinster Utes as well. You're helping the next generation of Wexford talent come through, and hopefully on to bigger and better things too.
Yeah, well, look, the Leinster Utes, I obviously played with the Utes, and the Utes is, for the people that might not know, the Utes is basically the Leinster under-18s, outside of what would be perceived as the traditional rugby schools. It's brilliant that those guys, young lads, get the opportunity to really develop, and the gap is really closing between the Black Rocks and the St. Michael's, and then the lads from Gorey, Wexford and Ross and Escorty, you know. So even like over a couple of years ago when we coached there, it was cancelled last year with the pandemic, but the year before we would have had guys like Paul Deaney from Wexford and Ben Popwell, and then George Haddon from Gorey, and we're starting back training next week actually, and I've just seen the list and there's another few Wexford names that I haven't met the lads yet, but I'm looking forward to working with them. And obviously then Josh O'Connor, Paul Boyle, Mark Boyle, all these other young lads that are kind of, Paul's obviously well established now, but the other guys coming through, and it's just super seeing that, and I suppose people like Tyke Farland would have been a big part of that, because there wasn't that many lads you could look up to back then from the county that were coming through the system. But now there seems to be a couple every year nearly, which is is absolutely brilliant, because like everyone in Wexford loves GAA, so that's solid as a rock. But it's good to see, I suppose, lads put their hand up in other sports as well. And I think we're a brilliant sport in county, full stop, regardless what sport. We seem to have people that excel at it, so it's great seeing other lads channel into different things as well.
Unfortunately, we are running out of time here a little bit, Owen, but thanks very much for taking the call, and hopefully we will be able to go in more depth in a later chat. But you know, you're still based in the Goree area, you're still keeping an eye on the local club where you came through. You were telling me off air that there are plenty more numbers down there at this stage than when you were coming up through the club, which is great to see, because you know, the club is still producing the likes of an Owen Sheriff, you know, with Paul Boyle, Robin Copeland still on the top scene as well. So you know, there's plenty of great times ahead for Goree.
Yeah, absolutely. Like, I suppose the club and the town has just grown massively over the last few years. So when we were young, there was a handful of us with people like Peter Earle and Philip Jones that would come out and give up their weekends, and we probably caused them awful hassle, but they were brilliant for us. But now you go down and there's hundreds of kids there in the mornings, and last week Goree done their 5k walk or run. It was a walk in my case, but to raise funds for their new development, which is brilliant. And look, I started my playing career at Goree, and I probably started my coaching one as well by just helping out with the under-17s when I first came back from England. So Goree's a place that'll always really close to my heart, that club. So I know I'm at Wanderers now, and that's a project I'm really excited by, and I love it up there. But I do always, first time, whenever our game finishes up with Wanderers, I suppose the next result I always check out is see how the Goree lads are doing in the Leinster League. So and hopefully there's a Towns Cup on the horizon, because I know that would be just reward for all the effort that goes in from all the people there.
Yeah, look, obviously that would be a crowning glory for the town as well, and we'll keep our fingers crossed for that. Hopefully it's not too far away. Well, listen, Owen, just one final question. You're obviously involved with the Wanderers, as we've mentioned. The AIL hoping to come back kind of August, late autumn time, is it?
Yeah, that's the plan. Like, I think the plan is obviously, like everyone in sport and adult sport now, is to go back into the pods of 15 non-contact and just get lads back out moving. And having a laugh, I think, is the biggest thing. I think that's shown us that there's a lot more important things in sport than actually just winning. It's about the relationships and getting out and having fun. So we'll get back, whether it's August or September when official games start, we'll be ready. And as I said, Wanderers is a club. People always say, oh, you've a great project there, as a sleeping giant, but I don't think we're asleep at all. We're fully awake now, so we're alive and kicking and ready to go, and I can't wait. I'm delighted to be part of that challenge.